Hello, everybody, and welcome to the next episode of the Epic Phelan Podcast. This week, we are interviewing Alex Hochhausen. He is the owner of Astronomic Audio, which is a distribution and production company for podcasts. This week, we talk about the origin of podcasts, how Alex got started in podcasting, his favorite podcasts, how podcasts are a great marketing tool, and how there's a low barrier to entry into podcasting. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Epic Phelan. Today, I have with us Alex Hochhausen. Alex Hochhausen is the owner of Astronomic Audio, which is a podcast production and distribution company. Hello, Alex.
Thanks for having me, Ryan. It's good to be here.
Hey, awesome. I'm glad to have you here. You've played a big part in the Epic Phelan Podcast by producing all, what are we at? This is the 21st episode, I believe.
Yeah, I think this is 21. Yeah. A big behind the scenes.
Yeah. So we're breaking the third wall. Is that what we're doing today?
Yeah, that works. I could call it that. We're breaking the wall. Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. First things first, Alex, what got you into podcasting?
That's a big question. So I was a super early adopter of podcasting. So I first got into the medium in like 2005, 2006, like just as the format was starting to happen. The name podcast wasn't even ubiquitous for what it is. There were a whole bunch of different names out there. I know one of the like more popular names for it was Yahoo Shoutcast. And you know, at that point in time, it was still in a lot of ways what it is now. It's blogging with audio. It was still like an RSS feed based audio format. And so I don't know if any of the particular shows I listened to at that point are still around, but I got really big into podcasting when Welcome to Night Vale started happening. So I don't know if you've listened to Welcome to Night Vale. It's like a fictional radio show. It takes place in this town called Night Vale, and Night Vale is like, I would say it's almost like a Lovecraftian setting. It's very spooky, but it's also very cheeky.
Is it like an old like 50s or 20s radio broadcast?
I would describe it more as like community AM radio.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's a super fun show. I got really into Welcome to Night Vale. And at the time when they first launched, they were a publishing company like for books. And they just decided to do this podcast as well. And so when you wanted to listen to the podcast, you had to go to this like publishing website. And then they had this like blog section, and the podcast was like buried in their blog section. And it was just like a thing that, I don't know, some of the guys there were doing for fun or whatever. I don't quite know the like impetus for doing it, but that's all it was. And now, like a decade later or more, Welcome to Night Vale, or produced by Night Vale, or something like that, is like its own brand. And they've got like six different podcasts that they do. I don't even know if they run the publishing company anymore. I have no idea, but they're kind of a big deal. And yeah, Welcome to Night Vale was like the podcast that got me into podcasting.
That is super, super cool.
Yeah.
So getting into podcasting, what kind of, did you have any kind of background in any kind of audio before that?
Well, I was a musician for a long time, like a hobbyist musician, not a professional musician, to be clear. And I just played in a bunch of bands. And when I got my first like big boy paycheck after I turned 18, I went out and bought a bunch of recording equipment, and actually still have and use some of it now because microphones are built to last, which is nice. And that was it. Like I did hobby recording in my basement. I had a little like micro studio set up, and you know, I would record my band or friends' bands and you know, dick around a little bit with editing the music, but I wasn't like super involved in it. And then probably, I think it would have been maybe 5 years ago, maybe six, the guys in the band that I was playing in at the time, like moved to opposite sides of the country. And I just wanted something to do with like audio and making sure I, you know, kept using all this gear that I spent a buttload of money on. And I was just getting into playing like role-playing games and Dungeons and Dragons with this group of friends. And I noticed that sometimes when I went over there, they had this like crappy USB mic that they put in the middle of the table to just like record the session. And I asked about it one day, but like why they did that and what it was for. And they said that they had like a wiki or something up for the group where they would like, you know, post their recordings of the sessions so they could go back and listen to it. And it was pretty cool because they actually had like years and years and years of recordings, which was really neat. And I asked them, you know, would you like me to bring my recording equipment by and I can get a better quality recording for you guys if you like. And so they said, sure. And I said, sure. And so I brought my gear by and I recorded the session. And then they asked me the next time we got together when they get to hear it. And I said, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to have to do like a little bit of cleanup on it because just had a bunch of background noise. And I just wanted it to sound nice for them. And so I think after that session, I went home and I opened up the audio and I started listening through it. And in the first 20 minutes, someone on the recording, you know, one of any number of people who were there, used the word podcast 12 times in the first 20 minutes. And I was like, we didn't talk about that. We didn't talk about making a podcast or anything, but that could be fun. You know, I like podcasts. I could use like an audio hobby to work on, and that would be cool. It would be a fun thing to do. And I figured, well, you know, I, you know, used to record music. And so, you know, I must probably have a handle on this already. And I learned very quickly that I did not have a handle on it already.
Oh, really?
Editing dialogue is really different than editing music. In some ways, there's a lot of things that you can get away with dialogue that you can't with music. But in some ways, the opposite is also true. Like, you know, you can hide imperfections in a mix with music because you've got a lot going on. But it's a lot harder to hide imperfections when it's just dialogue. People notice what's going on. And then there's also just a lot of standards about, you know, what the right or wrong way is to do certain things, especially with like formats that you're pushing out. And so I had to relearn all of this. And then I also had to learn how to actually distribute a podcast, which was kind of a nightmare figuring it out. And it was way harder than I anticipated it to be. But through the process of making a lot of mistakes and some trial and error, we got a podcast up and running and we got it out on iTunes and a couple other places. Spotify wasn't a thing yet or definitely didn't have podcasts anyway. And we just kind of, you know, messed around with it for a bit. We weren't like super serious about it for the first year or so that we were doing it. And we'd put some stuff out on like an irregular basis. And sometimes people would listen and sometimes they wouldn't. And it was not a show that a lot of people were listening to. Like there were seven of us in the group. And I remember the day that I found out that none of the like other six people in the group were listening to it. And I went, oh, my God, that means that there's actually 10 people who listen to this podcast. It's not just us plus three people. So it was a very small show. And then after about a year, yeah, it was probably about a year in, we started to take it a bit more seriously. And we sat down and we had a big meeting and we talked about like what we wanted to do with the show, what sort of direction we wanted to take it. And, you know, we made a decision to make an investment in some nicer equipment. And we made some tough decisions about taking content down, like old material that we didn't really think represented our best work. And so we sort of relaunched the podcast. And that was probably, I don't know, 4 years ago now, maybe 3.5 or 4 years ago. And I loved it. I absolutely loved working on it. And I spent like basically all of my free time working on this podcast. And I also had this job that I kind of hated. I fucking hated my job. I really fucking hated my job. And
it's like the best inspiration any entrepreneur can have is like hating your job. It's like, I gotta get out of this.
Yeah. Honestly, it is. And in a weird way, I kind of like talking to people who hate their job right now because I go, ooh, can we help you not hate your job? Can we help you find something that you love doing? Because, you know, you cannot hate getting up in the morning. Which is pretty nice. It's pretty nice to wake up in the morning and be pumped about what you're doing. So yeah, anyways, I had this job that I hated and I loved working on my podcast and I spent all my free time on it. And I really wanted for us to like take the podcast to, you know, like a next level or a new level and to maybe use it as like, you know, some kind of a platform to create some sort of an income for those of us in the group. And at the time, the rest of the group wasn't there yet. their thinking about it was that it was still very much a hobby. And even though, you know, everybody in the group had their own creative pursuits of some sort, they didn't quite yet buy into the idea that we could use the podcast as a platform to, you know, get them paid for their creative endeavors. And, you know, I've always been the sort of person who thinks that people should have the opportunity to get paid for their creative endeavors, because the arts are important. And I use the arts broadly when I say that. Like, you know, we've got a guy in our group who's a woodworker, but he's a very creative woodworker. And so I'd say, whatever, that's the arts. But
I'm saying it totally is. Yeah. It totally is. There's art in everything.
Yeah. And I just know that, you know, so many people have these creative endeavors that they're only able to do in their hobby time, and it costs them money to do it. And I was like, man, wouldn't it be cool if we could like get paid to do this stuff that we love doing? And yeah, the rest of the group wasn't quite there yet, and that was fine. And then through some, you know, kind of circumstances, some stress-related circumstances, I actually ended up on disability for like 3 or 4 months. And so I wasn't going in to work at my old job, at my job that I hated. And the first 2 weeks that I was off were the best. It was like a vacation. It was awesome. And then after 2 weeks of like sitting on my ass and watching Netflix, it wasn't a vacation anymore. And I was really bored. I didn't know what to do with my time. And so I started doing more and more with our podcast. And so I started adding music to the podcast. And then I started adding like sound design to the podcast, which was really fun. And then I ran out of like a backlog of content. I'd got all caught up on everything that we'd recorded, and I was done.
Hmm.
And I had like the next 6 months of material edited together, and we weren't going to record for another month and a half. And I was like, okay, well, now what do I do? And I was stuck in the same situation where I was, you know, bored, wanted something to do with my time, and I couldn't go back to work yet. I was still on disability, and I was going to be for a while yet. And at that point in time, I didn't know like just how long I would be on disability, but I knew it was going to be a while longer. And so I started reaching out to people with similar podcasts and just offering to help them out and helping them improve their audio quality or, you know, add new stuff to their show. You know, I wasn't getting paid for any of it, but I was just doing it for fun. And so it got to this point where my girlfriend would leave for work in the morning, and then she would get home from work in the afternoon, and I would go, oh, you got home early. And she would say, no, you've just been at your computer all day, because I was working on podcasts all day, every day, and not getting paid for it because it wasn't a job yet. But I loved doing it. And she said, at one point, she said to me, why aren't you getting paid for this? Or why aren't you doing this as a job or something? And I gave her an excuse that I had been giving myself for like a decade. Because a decade prior, there was a, you know, a band that I had played in, and one of the guys in the band had moved to Ontario to go to the Ontario Institute of Audio Recording Technology to become a recording engineer. And he had really encouraged me to do the same. And I had excuses about why I couldn't do it. Like, oh, you know, the timing wasn't right. And, you know, I had just moved into a new place or whatever. And these are the excuses that we make for ourselves about why we can't do the things that we want to do and why we can't take the risks that, you know, we should take. I'm a pretty risk averse person, but I recognize now that there are safe risks that we can take. And there are risks that you can take in your life where if it doesn't work out right, like, okay, I'm where I started before all of this happened. So what? And if it's not going to bankrupt you or put you in the poorhouse, as the saying goes, then, you know, do it. Why not? But I had made excuses for myself, and I made excuses for a decade that, you know, I couldn't do it. And then before long, the excuses changed to that I had missed my chance to do it, which is ridiculous.
That's
like absolutely ridiculous. And so I gave her those excuses, and I told my girlfriend, oh, you know, wah, 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 I could have done it, but wah, 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 I missed my chance. It's too late now, and I'm stuck in this job that I hate, even though I'm spending all of my time doing this thing that I love. And she said, well, why don't you talk to this friend of mine? And so she had this friend who was working at Propeller Studios here in Calgary, which is the sound design firm that did the audio engineering for Fargo. And I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. And so I talked to this friend of hers, and he mentioned that he'd actually heard the podcast and he thought my work was really good. And I was like, yeah, you did. Awesome.
Nice.
And so anyways, I just, you know, I had a chat with him and I asked, you know, what was his experience, you know, working with audio before he got in with them? And he said, well, you know, I basically recorded my own band and that was kind of about it. And they taught me a lot of what I needed to know. I was like, okay, cool. So you didn't go to university for this. You're, you know, self-taught, and then they taught you everything else you needed to know on the job. Okay. I was really, really interested at this point. And then he mentioned to me that they were looking for someone to do quote unquote grunt work. And in the audio world, grunt work is basically what podcast editors do. It's, you know, precise adjustments to dialogue and, you know, taking out hard P's and gross mouth noises and, you know, stuff like that, making corrections. And, you know, it's not the most interesting work in the world, but I still really liked it. I sure liked it a lot better than the job I was doing. And so I talked to them a little bit more about it. And then he was getting ready to set me up to talk to the owner or his manager or his boss, you know, whoever the guy was. And then he mentioned, by the way, you should be familiar with Pro Tools. You know, it would help you a lot to get it if you're familiar with Pro Tools. And so Pro Tools is just a piece of software that, you know, people use for recording and editing. And I kind of hate it. I don't like Pro Tools. And I told him, I said, I don't like Pro Tools. Is that like a mandatory thing? Because I have experience with all this other software that's similar. And he said, yeah, you know, we do have other, like, you know, subcontractors or third parties we work with sometimes who use whatever software they use, but in-house we use Pro Tools. And so I said, okay, you know, I don't know if I want to do that there. I want to do this, but I don't want to do it with that tool at this company. And I told him that, and I said, you know, I don't want to waste your time or waste your boss's time if I'm going to get in there and I'm not going to be good at this because I hate these tools that you use. But, you know, where do you think I could go from here? And he said, well, you should talk to the drummer in my band. He edits podcasts for a living. And I just had a light bulb moment. And I was like, of course. Yeah, somebody has to edit all these podcasts that are out there. It can't possibly be that every person who has a podcast has a background, even as a hobbyist working with audio. It can't be. There's 800,000 podcasts on iTunes. Or Apple Podcasts, because iTunes is dead, or whatever. But yeah, it can't be. It can't be that they're all just hobbyists who happen to have this skill set. Like, there are definitely professionals out there doing this. And so I connected with the drummer from his band, and I talked with him about it a little bit, and I got kind of an idea about, you know, how he used his time and what his approach was. And I started to really get some wheels turning about what I could do. And then I got the notice that my disability was going to end in about 4 weeks. I was like, okay, I know what I want to do. I know I want to do this. And I know I hate my job and I know I love doing this. And so I started doing some planning and I, you know, got a trade name registered and I got a business license and got some business cards made and I got a website made and I got all my ducks in a row. And my plan was that I was going to slowly make this transition, that I would go back to work when my disability had run out and that I would work on my business part-time while, you know, doing my full-time job. And then when I was making enough income with my business that I could step away from my full-time job, that I would. And I had a couple of clients lined up, you know, ready to get started with me a couple of weeks later. And, you know, it wasn't enough for me to, you know, quit my job right then and there, but it was a good start. And so I was pretty pumped about it. And then I wake up the day of my first day back at work and I was just fucking dreading it. And I didn't want to go. I did not want to go to work. And I was like, what am I going to do? Like, go to this job that I hate and, you know, then try to make time to work on a business. Like, how long is this going to take? And am I really going to have the opportunity to build my business to the point where I can quit my job if I also have to do my job? And so I said, fuck it. And my first day back to work, I quit my job, which is a big risk. And I, you know, I recognize that not everybody can do that. I was very lucky that I had, you know, some money in my savings. And I figured out that if worse came to worst, like, I could live off of my savings for a year if things really didn't go well. And then for the first 6 months, things really didn't go well. And that was what it was. And it was mostly because I didn't really know how to run a business. Like, I knew how to do my job. I knew how to edit a podcast, but I had no idea how to run a business. I had no idea how to find clients. And then eventually, you know, 6 months after I had quit my job, I, you know, figured out how to do this right. And I did a bit of a pivot and to, you know, mostly working with entrepreneurs and small to medium sized businesses rather than with hobbyists, because as cool as hobbyist projects are, they don't have any money and they certainly don't have enough money to pay me, you know, a living wage to do what I do. And so, you know, things started to kick up about 6 months in, and then a year in, I hired my first guy to come onto the team. I hired another editor, which was amazing. And then another 3 months or maybe 4 months after that, I hired a second editor. And then I brought on an assistant because I had a bunch of like administrative work that I couldn't handle myself. And now I'm almost 2 years in and I love what I do. And I still do some editing personally. There's like two or three podcasts that I personally edit. But I mostly just do like project management now, which is kind of weird because at my old job, I was in a management role and I hated it and I just wanted to work on audio. And now I'm in a management role, but I don't hate it. I really like it. And I would like to spend more of my time editing audio, but I love what I do and I would never, ever go back. So, yeah, that's the long winded version of like how I got into this.
That's amazing. That is the long winded version, but it's a good story, right? Because one of the takeaways that I have from that is something that I told a lot of my friends, you know, from like opening up a couple businesses of my own, where they have that same trepidation where they're like, I'm just not ready yet. You know, I don't know exactly how I'm going to do it. I don't know what the first step is. And I know it's a little bit maybe haphazard, but I just say, you know, you're at the edge of this cliff.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can either just sit there looking out at the edge of this cliff and say like, oh, this would be so amazing. Or you could just like jump, jump and you will learn to grow wings on your way down or you'll crash. Yeah. either way, but at least you've done it. And as long as you give it a full hearted effort,
yeah,
the experience is going to be amazing. You know,
yeah,
no matter what happens, right? Like creating something is so amazing, you know, no matter what kind of business. The thing that I like about your business is that you're creating a business and you're creating a niche and you're helping out small business people and you're giving them a voice. I mean, not necessarily small business, but even, you know, larger scale businesses as well.
Sometimes, yeah, you bet.
Yeah, but it's the creative side. I love it, right? Because it's like you're not just dealing with, let's say, craft beers. You do like a lot with the craft beer guys.
I sure do, yeah.
Yeah, and you're doing stuff with me, which is a real estate guy / wanting to promote everything cool about Calgary. It's so diverse and it's just very interesting.
And you know what's really, really cool about it is that every single one of my clients is really jacked about doing this. Like nobody starts working with me because they feel lukewarm about podcasting, right? Everybody who does it is excited about it. Everybody who's doing it is having fun with it. I love podcasting as a format. I think it's the democratization of radio, which is just so cool. I love working on it because it's a lot of fun. I love talking to people about podcasts because I'm also just really jacked about it. But I love talking to clients of mine about their podcasts. And I'll, you know, fully admit that not every podcast that we work on is a podcast that I like. And, you know, that's not to say that there are podcasts that I, you know, wish we didn't work on, but, you know, I have a certain taste and, you know, not every podcast I work on is, you know, within my taste, and that's fine.
That's the beautiful thing about podcasts, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I know, like my mom was telling me she was listening to all these podcasts. I'm like, oh,
that's cool.
Yeah. I'm like, it's so she's into it. And then my uncle was telling me, he's like, oh yeah, I ran across your podcast and I really like it. And I listened to this guy.
Nice.
And I'm like, that is cool. I didn't think it was so big, but it really is. It's like, it is like radio, but it's not that like, hey, welcome to, you know, it's like, it's not that overly cheesy. It's usually like really great conversations or, you know, maybe some weird shit that's like way out there too.
There's a lot of weird shit, which I like.
Yeah, there is. But that's awesome because then you can also experience that, right? Like there's a time where it's like, I want to listen to maybe a more business centric podcast, but then I want to listen to a ghost story or or you know, some people just shooting the shit over a beer, right? Yeah. Like that's super cool.
And we actually, it's funny that you mentioned the like radio voice. Yeah. We have a term for that in the podcasting space, which is the BBRV, the big booming radio voice.
Nice.
And I've talked to other editors who have some shade to throw at guys with big booming radio voices. And there are some podcasts out there that still do it. In a lot of cases, they're guys who have a background in broadcast. And so that's just kind of the way they talk when they get in front of a microphone. And that is what it is. It's fine, but it's out of place in podcasting for sure. And yeah, it's just so much fun. And I started noticing early on this trend of when we would get clients' podcasts set up, because there's a lot of like back end shit you got to do to like get the feed set up and get it on iTunes or Apple Podcasts and get it on Spotify and get it on Google and everywhere else. And then there's a big approval process that we got to wait through, and it's just kind of a headache. And so, you know, that's one of the things that we take care of. But towards the end of that process, I always send a package of links and I say, hey, here are the links to your podcast. It's for real now. And I have gotten so many text messages and emails that say, oh my God, I just subscribed to my own podcast. Like people who are so excited about it. And it makes me really excited. And like I've launched like way, I don't even know how many, more than a dozen podcasts now for sure I've launched. And every single time when I get that, you know, that email or that phone call or that text that says, it's really happening, I subscribe to my own podcast, I'm just so jacked. I'm so jacked that they're so excited and that, you know, we're making something really cool happen for them. It's just really awesome. You know, everybody's excited about working with me. Everybody's excited about what we work on together, and getting to not just be excited about your own work, but to have the people who you're working with be excited about it is really cool.
What I really like about the format, because I'm big into marketing and marketing is a huge passion of mine, the thing I like about it is that you can really take a niche market and you can really establish yourself as the expert in this field, and not even just like locally, but worldwide. It's probably the best way to do it. I mean, I know that I kind of steered my ship a little bit off course rather than just doing a purely real estate podcast.
But that's fine. Cause the podcast is showing off you.
Yes.
Right. Like the point is for people to get to know you and for people to get to know the people who you want to promote. So, you know, who cares if, you know, you talk about real estate, you know, or if you don't talk about real estate, you know, if you just want to talk about beer or if you want to talk about just podcasting in general, like who cares? Yeah. Like that's what it's for, right? It's not the, you know, Ryan talks about real estate radio hour. Like it's the Epic Phelan podcast. And
that's
so,
exactly it. It's really taken on a life of its own. And I just recently moved. I haven't moved it yet, but I've opened up an Instagram account for the podcast.
Cool.
And want to kind of like move all my social media into having a life of its own, right? The Epic Phelan podcast.
That's sweet.
Because it really is. It is a little out of place, you know, on my real estate side.
Yeah.
There's like mortgage brokers that I've talked to and whatnot, but there's a lot of just general interest as well.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this before we started recording, but I think that in a lot of ways that helps with, you know, A, the audience engagement of a podcast, and B, with the audience growth, because like you've got something for everybody. That's part of the reason that guys like Joe Rogan are so popular, because, you know, Joe Rogan doesn't have an MMA podcast, right? Mm-hmm. He has the Joe Rogan podcast and he talks to a whole bunch of different people about a whole bunch of different stuff. And whether you like him or not, he's got a really engaging platform and he exposes his audience to a lot of people who they otherwise wouldn't be exposed to. And, you know, I think that's an awesome thing to do. And to have a platform to do that is hugely valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. And it's weird. It is the Epic Phelan podcast, and I am promoting the podcast and I am promoting myself, but really the passion that I have within this is trying to be modest, but
don't be modest. It's your show. Like,
but it's selfless, right? Like, it's like, hey, you know, here I am interviewing Mike Miles, right? You know, Or here I am interviewing the guys from Revita.
Right.
Promoting them, but in a BNI kind of sense, you know, it's a whole giver's gain, right?
Yeah.
By giving to these people, you know, what you're getting out there in an audience is, you know, oh, this guy really knows the stuff and he knows, you know, all these different people. And, you know, and it does have that kickback in the real estate side for me as well.
Totally. You know, giving people a platform is mutually beneficial, right? Like,
yes,
you know,
absolutely.
you have me on your podcast, like I'm exposed to your audience now. And that has huge benefit for me and, you know, huge potential for whether it be my business or my personal brand. We'll pretend I have a personal brand. And and then it also has value for you, right? Because, you know, when you put your podcast out, like when this comes out on, I don't know what it's Monday today, when this comes out on Friday, like it's going to go up on social media. I'm going to get tagged and then I'm going to promote the fact that I was on this show because I have an interest in telling people that I was on it. And so I get access to your audience, you get access to mine, and we got to sit down and, you know, have a drink over Zoom and shoot the shit for, you know, half an hour or an hour or whatever it ends up being.
Yeah.
And so it has huge benefit for both of us, not just on a promotional side, but just because I like getting to sit down and chat with you over a beer for a bit, right?
Absolutely. I'm totally enjoying that.
Yeah, it's an awesome platform for that. And I think the like podcasting space in general really reflects that because there's a lot of like podcast related, you know, Facebook groups or whatever that I'm, you know, subscribed to or part of. And the community is so collaborative and so reciprocal. Everybody wants to help grow each other's audience. Everybody wants tips from each other. Everybody wants to help each other. And it really seems to be a like global community that follows the premise of, you know, a rising tide raises all boats. And
yes.
And what's even cooler about it is that the market penetration for podcasting is still really low. Like we're a long, long way away from peak podcasting. And you can see that with the kind of stuff that's going on in the market. Like Spotify, I think in the last year has spent, they've publicly, that we know of, have spent $1 billion on podcasting related acquisitions. And I hear now that Joe Rogan, who is the most popular podcaster in the world, has signed an exclusive deal with Spotify. Which is crazy. They're really invested in spending money to buy market share from Apple because Apple, you know, they're the big boys, right? It's called podcast because of the iPod. And so it's still on such a huge upwards trajectory. And, you know, I think I mentioned earlier that there's 800,000 podcasts out there. There's 800,000 active podcasts on Apple Podcasts right now. And that sounds like a lot until you compare that to, you know, what the two most similar media formats are, which are blogging, because podcasting is really just blogging with audio, and then vlogging or, you know, like video blogs. And so right now, between blogging and YouTube vlogging, they are 50 million active blogs and vlogs out there right now, compared to 800,000 podcasts. Like it's nothing. It's barely 2%. It's barely 2% the penetration of the like most similar media formats, which is crazy. So like it's a hugely collaborative community. It's an easy format to A, get into because you can listen to it anywhere, and B, start doing because it is the democratization of radio. And if you can get over the technological hump of recording your show and then just the, you know, the headache of getting listed on Apple and Spotify and everywhere else, and you could hire someone to help with that.
See Alex at Astronomica Audio.
For sure. But it is also a thing that, you know, a lot of people do have enough of a skill set that they can get off and running on their own. And I've totally helped people who, you know, don't have a budget to work with us to just do it on their own. Because I do this because I want people to be able to podcast. And if we can get paid, awesome. Fantastic. You know, we'll be so happy to help someone get there. But, you know, if someone wants some advice on how to do it on their own, like, you know, book a call with me. I'll help you figure it out because I want people to get their shows out there. And, you know, it has so much potential. So much potential for the format to grow, so much potential for what you use your podcast for, and so much potential to just have a fuck ton of fun with it because it is so much fun. Like, I quit a job that I had for a decade and paid me pretty good money to do podcasting because it's that much fun. So yeah, I guess if I have to like leave your audience with a message is like, if you have even thought maybe I should do a podcast, it's not maybe, you should do it. Just do it. It's fun and you'll have fun with it. And even if it doesn't go anywhere, just do it anyway, because you're going to love it.
Funny that you say that, because if you look at the medium in itself, one of my hangups at the beginning was like, okay, well, starting off with the real estate thing, you know, I was thinking of using it as a real estate thing, using it to get exposure and whatnot. And I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, you look at all these like HGTV shows and YouTube shows, and I did a lot of Instagram live and Facebook live videos, and I still do. But I was thinking, geez, you know, there's no video component to this. But I think that's the beauty of podcasting, because hey, I'm driving to work. There's my 30 minutes in, my 30 minutes out. I'm not listening to dribble or I'm at work, you know, and it's something cool to listen to while I'm at work. And it's generally an acceptable listen to, you know, where there's not too many. I mean, you get a variety of different ratings on the language.
That's right? What headphones are for.
Yeah, that's yeah, exactly. That's what headphones are for. Exactly. So many different opportunities for this outlet to have that exposure. You know, if you're on the treadmill for half an hour, right?
Yeah.
Saying that, dealing with the, you know, the big C word right now, COVID.
Yeah.
Right. With your analytics, have you seen any drop in listenerships or maybe an increase in listenerships? You know, if people are, you know, working around the house and, oh, I'll throw this podcast on. Or
so yes and no. One big thing that we've noticed, and this is not, you know, this is not the case across the board, but this is the case with a lot of podcasts that we listen to is we saw, you know, as soon as lockdown started happening, we saw like a lot of people immediately went into catch up mode. People who maybe like hadn't listened to every episode of something were going through and listening to back catalog, which was cool. It's cool to see. What we started to see after the first like 3 or 4 weeks is that listenership kind of leveled off back to where it was before. And I honestly think it's mostly because, yeah, they got through, you know, the back catalogs of the podcasts that they, you know, were listening to and maybe weren't caught up on. And then they were just caught up. You know, they were listening to episodes as they came out, just like they might have been doing before, which is what it is. You know, my podcast, we're very lucky that we have like an avenue to interact directly with our listeners. So we have a Discord server, which is like a, if you're not familiar with Discord, it's like a sort of a chat room kind of thing. And so we talk to a lot of listeners, and you know, some of them have said that they are listening less because of how their habits have changed. They're not commuting to work, but others are saying that now they're doing nothing but listening to podcasts all day, which is cool. It's really cool. And what's neat about, you know, the format being that it's audio only is that you can still listen to a podcast all day and still get some stuff done. Like, you know, if you're working from home or, you know, if you're, you know, doing housework or whatever it might be, like you can do other stuff. You can do something productive with your time while you're listening to a podcast. But if you sit around and watch YouTube all day, you're not getting anything done.
Yeah.
You're sitting around and watching YouTube all day. And, you know, I don't think there's anyone out there who can, you know, really say that they're actually getting something done while they're, you know, sitting on their ass watching YouTube all day. You know,
yeah,
prove me wrong.
I concur.
Prove me wrong. Maybe someone does, but not that I'm aware of. So, yeah, I mean, we saw a lot of that big bumps in listenership and then kind of a level off back to normal or a little above normal. The other thing that we saw on the content creation side, not on the listener side, but on the content creation side, is that a lot of podcasters were doing more. You know, they were doing more content because they wanted to give their audience something. They knew that their audience was stuck at home. You know, people were working from home or people had lost their jobs. And if they had the ability to continue doing their podcast, a lot of people stepped it up and they were doing more, which was really cool to see. One, because obviously it's nice to give something back to your listeners and say, you know, here, let me give you something to entertain yourself because I know you're stuck at home. But it was also cool to see that people recognized podcasting as an avenue to do that. And people continued to see the value in hosting their podcasts, even as, you know, the world was changing. That was really, really cool to see. you know, talking with peers of mine who operate similar businesses, you know, there's a lot of mixed messaging out there about how things are going. What I'm perceiving is that the service providers who mostly worked with hobbyists have seen their business drop off. And that's kind of to be expected. You know, hobbyists don't have cash flow for a marketing expense. And ultimately that, you know, in a lot of cases is what podcasting is. It's a marketing expense. It's not an ad, but it is marketing. And so hobbyists, I think, and the people who work with hobbyists have been struggling a bit right now. But the people who work with businesses and the people who work with entrepreneurs, they're, you know, doing the same or doing better. We had one of our best months since we got started up during COVID. And you know, it hasn't been that way the whole way through. For the most part, it's been, you know, kind of business as usual. But we have had, I think, March or April was our best month ever, full stop, which was really, really cool to see. And sales has been a little harder. It's harder to get people to part with marketing dollars. But I think people recognize that downturns are a big opportunity to stand out, because they know that a lot of their competitors are hanging on to marketing dollars. And if they have, you know, if they have the cash flow in place to support additional marketing expenses, they're willing to do it. And they're recognizing that, you know, doing it in a format like podcasting that's growing and has big exposure to audience and builds familiarity with the hosts, they're recognizing it as a big opportunity. And that's been really cool.
See, and I think, you know, you kind of touched on something there really and really quick, just as we're running out of time. But even if you're shy on marketing dollars, you know, you're a small business and you're not sure if podcasting is your thing, or you just don't have the money to get into podcasting, reach out to some people that do podcasting and be a guest. You don't have to be the host necessarily, but be a guest, and, you know, and here's a chance to, you know, talk about your product.
Yeah.
That's something that I'm always looking for, is always looking for new guests, you know, people to talk to, interesting people that have a really cool business in Calgary.
Yeah, you bet. You know, just like we talked about earlier, it's a rising tide raises all boats. There's a benefit to being a host, and there's a benefit to being a guest too. And yeah, I actually get a lot of emails from people who just want to be on a podcast. And you know, that's not like quote unquote what I do, but when I get that email, I always book a call with that person and I say, "Okay, like, let's just talk about who you are and what you do and what it is that you want to promote." And then I'll connect you with whatever clients of mine or other podcasters that I know who can promote you and can give you a platform and give you access to the audience that you're looking for. Because I know that there's huge value in it for them, even if they're not going to do their own show. You know, having an opportunity to make people feel like they know you is amazing. That's what happens. You know, you listen to someone talk for, you know, half an hour or an hour, or if they're the host of a show, you listen to them talk for, you know, dozens of hours, you start to feel like you know them. I've even mentioned in the past that shows that I edit personally, sometimes I'll talk to the host. We'll sit down for a beer or we'll get on the phone or whatever. And they'll say, "Oh, you know, it's been a while since we talked." And I realize, "Oh yeah, I guess it has." Because I feel like I talk to you all the time because I hear your voice all the time. So it's really cool. So yeah, you know, just like you said, even if you don't have the budget to do your own show, if you've got something to promote, like, email the people whose shows you listen to. You know, if you see people in your network who are on podcasts, reach out to them and ask how they got on that podcast, because chances are you can get on someone's show and you can spread your message for sure.
Oh yeah. Relatively easy too. So Alex, what podcasts are you listening to right now?
That's a really funny question. Is I don't listen to a lot of podcasts because
I guess you wouldn't. That makes sense.
Well, because it's really hard to listen to a podcast while you're editing a podcast. I have one of the few jobs that's really hard to listen to podcast during, but there are a couple that I still listen to regularly. Welcome to Night Vale being the big one. I've been trying to get caught up on this other one that the Welcome to Night Vale people do called Alice Isn't Dead. I've had a hard time getting through it just because it's very intense. So I kind of listen to it in small doses, but it's like a horror story thing. It's really cool. I've also been getting into The Underculture with James Adomian. He's a comedian and he does a lot of like long form improv impressions, which is really, really cool. That's been super fun. And then the other one that I've been checking out recently is the, what is it, Duncan Trussell Family Hour. And I actually got into it because of his new Netflix show, The Midnight Gospel, which is like a really psychedelic, like super cool show that's made up almost entirely of content from his podcast. So that's been really cool too. So that's what's on my radar right now. But I always feel weird answering that question because I don't spend that much time listening to podcasts that I don't personally work on.
Well, because you're editing all these podcasts all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're kind of like, required to listen to them. So there's your time is limited.
Yes. We'll put it that way. Yeah, totally. I only have so many hours where I don't already have someone talking in my ears to choose from.
So if somebody wants to get started with podcasting or has a few questions, like you said, you know, just how it all works and what they should be doing, how do they get a hold of Mr. Alex Hochhausen?
Super easy. You can look at my website. It's astronomicaudio.ca. You can email me, alex@astronomicaudio.ca, or call me, 403-998-2520. I'm also on, you know, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter @astronomicaudio. I'm pretty easy to find. And there's also not very many people in Canada with my last name. So you can Google me. You'll find me. I'm pretty easy to get a hold of.
Right on. Well, thanks again, Alex. And as always, until next time, stay epic.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks again for listening to Epic Phelan. If you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe. Give me a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @RealRyanPhelan. And visit my website at thecalgaryrealestateguy.com. Until next time, stay epic.